You are now listening to TalkTainmentRadio.com and WCRS 98.3 and 102.1 FM, Central Ohio's only community radio station, a service of the Neighborhood Network
and TalkTainmentRadio.com.
The views and opinions expressed are those of the host and guests and not necessarily those of TalkTainmentRadio.com, 3MR Production, its ownership, management, or staff.
The journey into the weird, the strange, and the paranormal starts in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. UFOs,
crop circles,
near-death experiences,
reincarnation,
haunted places,
conspiracy,
alien abductions,
serial killers,
Nazi secrets,
religious cults,
strange creatures,
unsolved mysteries,
demonic possession,
alien life forms.
This is the chosen herd only on TalkTainmentRadio.com. Radio, the way it should be heard, should be heard. Many are called, few are chosen. You're listening to the chosen herd only on TalkTainmentRadio.com, the world's greatest radio. And as always, I'm Ron Mills. I'm your navigator into these journeys of the weird, the strange, and the paranormal. But you can always join me. All you have to do is give me a call, 1-877-932-9766, 1-877-932-9766, or drop me an email at rxmills, the number 8, at, oh, I forgot my own email address, sorry, rxmills, the number 8, at gmail.com. Again, that's rxmills, the number 8, at gmail.com. And you can talk, you can give me a message straight to me, straight to my phone. Tell me about the show. Tell me if you have a guest in mind for me. Course and heading set for hauntings and paranormal activity. Many of us believe via our religious beliefs that there is a life after death and we start a new life in heaven or paradise with our Creator. But what about the realm in between death and the life after? Are countless souls trapped in a cold, dark dimension, not knowing how or wanting to cross over to the other side? My guest is Tina Irwin. She's a retired naval commander. She has studied spirituality and metaphysics for many years. She has assisted many lost spirits in finding their way to the other side. She's the author of several books, but we're going to talk about her series, Ghost Stories from the Ghost Point of View. And she's with us right here, right now on The Chosen. How are you, Tina?
I'm doing great, Ron. How are you?
I'm good. I lost a train of thought for a minute there. It's been one of those days. But let's start off. What exactly is a ghost or a spirit? Because we know that scientists have found at the point of death, you actually lose six ounce of weight. Is that your soul leaving? Is that your, I don't know, your conscious matter? You actually lose weight at the point of your last breath. So what is that and what is a ghost?
A ghost is what's left of you when you don't need a body anymore. Mm-hmm. We only have a body so that we can experience mortal life. We can have that time and the space to actually love someone, to taste food, to walk on feet, to smell the air. But when you don't need that experience or it ends for whatever the reason, and there are many reasons, then you leave your body and your essence has apparently a weight. And there was a Russian photographer who created something called Carillion Photographer. His last name was, you know, Carillion. And he has the ability to photograph interdimensionally, or basically it's the through infrared or ultraviolet. There's actually a photograph of the soul leaving the body. Wow. And just like a butterfly leaves a shell, it's still a butterfly.
Mm-hmm.
But it leaves that shell and it becomes something else. We'd simply shift our shape, and we enter what's called the fourth dimension on our way, hopefully, to the fifth dimension. But I would have to say most people don't get to the fifth dimension. They don't enter the heaven world. They become ghosts, because they really did not know what to expect when they died. So they become a ghost for lack of some, you know, they don't know what else to do. Whatever their faith or lack of faith did not prepare them for what's supposed to happen after you die.
Let's talk about the different hauntings, and let's start off with a residual haunting. And what is that? Because I think from watching the 1988 movie, The Lady in White, I think that's a residual haunting because it was a Halloween story, and this little boy, Frankie, gets locked in Halloween evening, gets locked into a cloakroom because his friends play a trick on him. And then when he's sleeping there, and at the stroke of midnight, this little girl comes in who's a ghost figure. And she doesn't see him there, but she sort of relives her death in that cloakroom at that time. So, and she doesn't acknowledge him or anything. Is that a residual haunting?
Well, there are many terms for it. You could call it a residual haunting. It's basically a haunting that took place in a different time. And that's why she can't see him.
Mm-hmm.
Took place in, it's a different stack of time. So she could have died in that cloakroom 30 or 40 years ago or 5 years ago. We don't really know when she died. But for her, that's her moment of death. And she only sees what she saw at the point of her death. She doesn't mm-hmm. see because time continued, but she's frozen in that time. That's why you see Southern Bells haunting these antebellum mansions, you know, or soldiers are still stuck on the battlefield because time stopped at the moment of death.
Mm-hmm.
So they can't move into the future because they're stuck where they are. Does that answer your question?
Yeah, so these are not intelligent spirits. They're not going to make contact with you. Maybe that's just that energy imprint there.
I would say that's all that soul knows. Mm-hmm. They're just that energy. That's a good way to put it. It's the energy imprint of that soul's death at that moment, and so they are going to still be there until someone comes along and helps them cross over.
Okay.
And that's just the simplest explanation.
So it's not the possibility they're on the other side and left this imprint. They're still just reliving that death or whatever happened over and over and over again.
Correct. Right. Correct. I mean, I have a story that will print a new trilogy in 2014. And in one of the stories, there's two little girls, and they're running through the woods escaping a pursuer. They have no idea he killed them.
Wow.
They're just still running. And they, right before their death, they left their bodies. So they're moved. Now you have a very different scenario. People think of a ghost as standing in one place, but mm-hmm. they're still moving. So, yes, there are different kinds of hauntings. You have people who actually see that they've died. They know they've died. They see their body. Or people who don't know they've died, and they think they're still operating as a living person, mm-hmm. but they have, in fact, died. And so a lot of the haunting effects are not because they're trying to scare the daylights out of you. It's simply that they are reliving those last moments. And they can be very unnerving if you're a living person. But it's actually worse if you're the person on the other side who has to keep reliving it.
Wait. The second is called the poltergeist activity, and that's German for noisy spirit. And these are the ones we see in the movies. They're moving stuff around, slamming glasses, opening cabinet doors, and they actually appear like they are trying to scare the crap out of whoever's in the home.
That's true. There are ghosts who are very aware that they're dead.
Mm-hmm.
They're very aware that they need to get somebody's attention for whatever the reason. Some of them are grandparents who want to warn their children and their grandchildren about something. I've seen that over and over and over. So they will bang a pot, or not to scare the family, but to say, gee, I'm still here, I didn't die. They might touch someone's arm, and you feel like maybe you have you know, you something brushed your arm, but you couldn't figure it out.
Mm-hmm.
Or, and it can be malicious. It can be. I mean, because I'm not going to say no to the people who feel like they're having the daylights really, you know, scared out of them. But what I will say is the majority of ghosts are really not trying to harm you. Yes, there are some very, very almost deadly ghosts. Ghosts that, I mean, I've seen the gamut of them. Mm-hmm. One little girl ghost was trying to stab a living child in the back with a knife. And the living child would wake up with all these little stab points all over her
wow.
back. And we moved her on as soon as I discovered I was contacted. And she was just angry and wanted somebody's attention. So, yeah, she did whatever it took to get your attention.
So let's see, even that's poltergeist activity, but we could also say, and I'm not doing these in order, but this intelligent and interactive activity also, an intelligent ghost that's interacting with the around is another haunting, just like you described the little girl. And these they give the example that these spirits, they interact with the living. And they give several examples of why they probably are tied to a site. They died as a result of a traumatic event, murder, or accident. They have unfinished business on the earth. They died suddenly, and they still think they're alive, just like you said. The living or loved ones can't let go of them. The spirit's emotionally attached, and they can't let go. Can't rest because of an injustice, or, and we can save this and talk about it later, fear of judgment on the other side. So let's talk about, because you work with a lot of these intelligent, interactive spirits, right?
Yes. I actually had that happen to me personally with a house in Charleston. We had a very, very interactive ghost. He was actually a thief. He stole things from us. And my neighbor had one. We lived in the Archdale Plantation in Charleston, South Carolina. Hello to all the Charleston listeners. And the entire neighborhood was haunted. We had interactive events constantly. I would hear him running down the hall. I mean, we would have six people at 7 o'clock in the evening hearing someone run down the hall and there's no
wow.
one there. We'd have him knock on the wall above our head. He got in bed with me and held my hand. I mean, to this day, I remember my absolute terror. And he loved to play jokes.
Wow.
He would pound on the walls, and you could hear plaster falling. And I had my son was born in Charleston, so for the whole time he lived there, he lived in this haunted house. I've seen ghosts who are so interactive. One of the most astonishing was a friend of mine who was a naval officer. And we were in Naples, Italy, where we were stationed, and I went over one weekend, and we were ironing our uniforms, and I looked in the corner, and there's a man standing there. And I said, do you know there's a man standing there? And she said, yes, I love him. He's been with me all my life. And I thought, oh, my God, this is the ghost in Mrs. Muir, but it's real life.
Wow.
And she never dated. She never had a boyfriend. And he was with her everywhere she was stationed. He actually saved her life. She should have died of carbon monoxide poisoning, and he saved her by warning her and insisting she go to a doctor, and her blood was black from carbon monoxide poisoning. She should have died. Was this right or wrong? Maybe she would not have even been in that situation if she'd had a normal life and married someone.
But she was in love with a ghost, and she kept him on this, in that in-between plane of existence, which you call the fourth dimension, because
yes.
with her love, she...
Well, I can't say whether she kept him or he kept her. It was mutual.
Mm-hmm.
And she only knew that he had been with her as long as she had memory.
And
that sounds really interesting and romantic, and I know we have the whole Twilight series. But the truth is, if you're not very careful and you can't tell the difference from what's normal in the third dimension and what's normal in the fourth dimension, after a while, the line becomes blurred, and a certain type of insanity sets in. So it's very dangerous.
But this wasn't somebody that she knew from her life, just somebody that had been haunting around her, well, haunting her and hanging around, and she developed a relationship with this.
Well, I don't know that. I only know that when she talked about him, she was in love with him.
Wow.
So he had, from what I could see, he was an older man. He was fully dressed. I don't know whether he saw her as a child and he was in love with her from the time she was a little girl. I don't know that. But all she would say is, he's been with me all my life. You're the first person who could actually see him.
Wow. Now, there's characteristics of a ghost. You said he was dressed in, most of them are dressed in period time and stuff. What happens to those ghosts? Because I've read your book and what you say, how do they see it from their point of view? This guy that was there, how did he see it from his point of view?
His point of view, he is wearing the clothes he died in. So he never changed clothes. Whatever you died in, that's what you're going to be wearing.
Mm-hmm.
Notice the movie Ghost with Patrick Swayze and Demi Moore all those years ago?
Right.
Swayze never changed his clothing, and that's absolutely true. I see the person at the last moment, they took a mortal breath, and sometimes it's really difficult to see what's happened to that person's body. It's really hard. And a lot of times the person doesn't feel that. Sometimes they do, but most of the time they just know that nothing changes for them. So to get back to understanding some of the categories, some people absolutely know they're dead. And I'll give you another example of an interactive ghost. And then the ghost stories from the ghost point of view, there is the story of Helen Stanton. And Helen was a Civil War nurse who haunted a house in Virginia Beach.
Mm-hmm.
Virginia had 2,000 out of the 4,000 Civil War battles were fought in Virginia.
Wow.
And so it is profoundly with Civil War deaths. And there were Northern, Yankees, and there were rebels, and there were slaves, and there were free men and women, and everything in between. So in this particular case, she was a Civil War nurse. I couldn't tell you what side she was on. And she, when I got to the house, she was wearing the clothes she died in. They were bullet ridden. It was a gray dress with a white collar, button down, skirts all the way down to her ankles, black shoes. Her clothes were dark with blood. And she looked at me, she's like, "What took you so long? I got all these guys and I gotta have some help. They don't know they're dead." And I said, "Yeah, but you know." She said, "Oh, I've been dead for a long time, but I can't convince them that they're dead. I can't leave them."
Wow.
So now you have a very heroic ghost,
mm-hmm,
who is there for the service of others, even in death. She knew she was dead. She knew the other men were dead, but she wouldn't leave them until she could make sure they could cross over. I find that heroic.
She was continue to treat them as if she was a nurse.
Yes. She wouldn't leave them behind, even though the light came for her repeatedly. Mm-hmm.
And they were, I guess they were reliving their trauma also. I mean, if they had to be a Civil War a soldier was a traumatic thing, because a lot of times they're cutting off limbs and everything right there, and the dirty surroundings on a flat board or something like that, and giving you a little whiskey and just making do with what they had, sawing off your leg and everything. And so it was very traumatic.
Oh, the trauma, a lot of these men just simply died from shock.
Mm-hmm.
Went into septic shock and they were gone. They just couldn't bear it. And some of them begged for a bullet in the head, but bullets were hard to come by, so they couldn't even do that. Sometimes those deaths, as barbaric as it sounds, are more merciful than the agony of what they had to live with. And then the infections that they died from afterwards, because I've seen Civil War hospitals. And
Tina, I need you to hold that thought. TalkTainmentRadio.com, the world's greatest radio and the home of Brother K, educating and deliberate on Conversating in the AM, Monday through Fridays, 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. Is religion trapping people in the spirit world? We'll find out about that coming up next on TalkTainmentRadio.com.
go where you go.
Download the new Talktainment Radio app to your Android, iPhone, or tablet. Now you can take us wherever you go,
and it's free. Download today.
The world's greatest radio. Radio. The way it should be heard.
We're cracking down on Medicare fraud.
The health care law gives us powerful tools to fight it.
To investigate it.
Prosecute it.
And stop criminals.
Our senior Medicare patrol volunteers
are teaching seniors across the country
to stop, spot, and report fraud.
You can help.
Guard your Medicare card.
Don't give out your card number over the phone.
Call to report any suspected fraud.
We're cracking down on Medicare fraud.
Let's make Medicare stronger for all of us.
TalkTainmentRadio.com. Food for thought.
I had to go a few days without hot water due to a natural gas leak in my home, and it started me to thinking about all the things many of us take for granted. It also brought to mind the millions of people in this world living without any running water. Forget about it being hot. So many people struggle to just survive every day, including some of our neighbors. And we complain about being inconvenienced when those things we take for granted are not available. I, for one, have decided to spend less energy complaining and more time and effort helping those lacking the things I take for granted. There are many agencies and organizations in need of assistance and donations to help others. For tips and resources on how to donate your time, money, or goods wisely to local, national, and international charities, visit the website CharityNavigator.org, your guide to intelligent giving.
That's another Food for Thought. To hear additional Food for Thought, stay tuned to TalkTainmentRadio.com. Radio, the way it should be heard. You are now listening to TalkTainmentRadio.com and WCRS 98.3 and 102.1 FM, Central Ohio's only community radio station, a service of the Neighborhood Network and TalkTainmentRadio.com.
We've got the power.
Doubt if you dare, but believe if you have the courage, because you're listening to The Chosen, heard only on TalkTainmentRadio.com, the world's greatest radio. And you can always join the conversation. All you have to do is give me a call, 1-877-932-9766, 1-877-932-9766, or you can drop me an email at rxmills8@gmail.com. That's rxmills8@gmail.com. The fall is coming, so we on Talktainment Radio have new fall season premieres of shows. Talktainmentradio.com. These have been added to the schedule for just a couple. 7 Days a Geek, I'll be on that, and I've already listened to it, being a geek myself. Let's Talk About Sex and The World View, to name a few. Talktainmentradio.com. Click on the programs and the listings and the times. We go where you go. Download the Talktainment Radio app. Now you can listen on your cell phone, your Android, your smartphone, because we go where you go, and that download is free. So definitely you can listen to The Chosen. My guest is Tina Irwin, and she has assisted many lost spirits in finding their way to the other side. And her book is Ghost Stories from the Ghost Point of View. And she has done a phenomenal job of assisting ghosts to the other side. But now we're going to switch and talk about one of the things that keep a lot of people in that fourth dimension realm: religion. When I was a little boy, Tina, my grandmother, very religious person and Christian, she would tell us that God was a jealous God and tell us about the river of fire and everything. And things like that, you know, you could listen to it when you're a kid, but as an adult, you know, things are kind of gray and they're not always black and white, and we are not perfect. So sometimes that might keep you, I'm assuming, from meeting God. Is that true?
Well, I would like to offer a different view of that.
Mm-hmm.
I would like to invite people to look at the teachings of Christ,
mm-hmm.
and, just for variety, Christ and Buddha and the Dalai Lama.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that we have been given that a disservice has been done to all people because they have been made to believe that somehow God is cruel and judgmental. But if you look at the original teachings of Jesus, that was the point of his coming, was to remind us that we are welcomed home.
Mm-hmm.
Why he showed the resurrection. The Buddhists actually teach you how to assume a position for death and what to expect on the other side and how your family can help you with that crossover with prayers and positive thought and peaceful, you know, peaceful feelings. I would also like to remind everyone that we do not come to mortal life because we are perfect. We come for the experiences of it. And we have the ability to forgive another person for a mistake. Then we would surely expect that we are in God's image. We would ask God to forgive us, and we are automatically forgiven. There is no learning in perfection.
Mm-hmm.
If we were perfect, we would not be here.
Exactly.
We would be one of the higher dimensional beings in the heaven world. But we're here. And the more we provide service to one another, living or dead, the more we love with all of our heart, no matter what has happened to us, don't stop loving. When death comes, we can ask for the light. We can ask for angels, and we can make that transition. And then we get to sit down with these divine counselors of amazing wisdom and ask them, okay, in this life, I had this situation. How could I have handled this better?
Mm-hmm.
Can you imagine how amazing that's going to be?
What
a wonderful anticipate.
I've had people on this show that have had near-death experiences, and one of them said that they let him, and he was even a sniper in the Korean War, and he said that they let him see what he did, and when he shot the person, he saw the person leave his body, and not only he felt his pain for not finishing his mission there, but he felt the pain of all of his relatives also, too. They didn't judge him. They let him see it and
right.
And truly what was happening so he could understand it. And you're right, because I had somebody earlier talk about a near-death experience, and she didn't even call God. She said called him Source. And she said she was angry because she's a Catholic, and she said that he is nothing like I was taught. He's not. We're thinking about that human realm when we're giving him human emotions, like my grandmother did. He's a jealous guy. We gave him those emotions that are essentially very human and us, not a superior being. And she just was angry, and she said that's much different, you know, loving, teaching, not, you know, that person that's going to throw you into, can't wait to throw you into purgatory, hell. She even said she didn't even believe that Hitler might be in hell. And that's fantastic. But that was her thought.
I'm not angry, but I have a theory.
Mm-hmm.
This doesn't mean I'm right. It's just my theory. And it is that people have near-death experiences so that they can be the messengers and remind us, and I'm thrilled you had someone like her on your show, because she's a reminder that we don't need to be afraid of death.
Mm-hmm.
I've had several friends with near-death experiences, and they all came back with the same thing. She said, I feel like I'm a messenger, that we don't need to be afraid of death, that we are welcomed home. It's the most wonderful homecoming. Every single soul, no matter what they did, and I've helped an awful lot of soldiers cross over, thousands and thousands and thousands of them, in all different kinds of wars. And every single time, they were welcomed home. The angels do not discriminate. They don't sit down, you know, like Santa Claus and check their list twice. They don't care what faith you believe in or don't believe in. They don't care how you died or what you did in your life. Their job is to help you, period. That's their function. And when you can embrace that concept, you can embrace a sense of peace you never thought was possible.
Tina, do you believe in hell? Or, because I've had people on the show also that have near-death experiences, that have had negative near-death experiences, said they went to a place that it reminded them of hell, or do they slide into a different portal instead of, is there hell, or did they slide into a different portal instead of where they were supposed to go?
Well, let's just say there is, in the fourth dimension, there are some very interesting places. I'll just leave it at that. And some of them are very, very dark. Mm-hmm. And they can be especially dark if the person uses methamphetamine. The irony is, and I'm digressing slightly, but we know that that drugs are dangerous.
Mm-hmm.
What we don't understand is, how does that dangerous drug affect us after death? And I don't think anybody talks about that.
Wow. Oh.
But methamphetamine is a thousand times worse than heroin, cocaine, marijuana, or prescription drugs. Methamphetamine and any derivative thereof is a formula that is so toxic to the very DNA of the soul, I don't even know how to convey it to you.
Wow. So let's say you use that opening for portal hauntings. Now, the understanding when I looked up is that portal haunting is a controversial theory. It's not new, but is a doorway to another dimension, which you mentioned is open, and entities travel through them. They're not limited to one location, region, or sacred ground. It might be odd creatures, strange shapes, mist, or fogs. So, tell us about portal hauntings.
A friend of mine called me one day, and she said, I do not know what it is, but I have this wall in my house, and my dog stares at the wall and barks.
Wow.
And she said that this wall, she said, and I looked at it because I remote viewed it, and I said, it's a doorway, and it's exactly what you're talking about. It's a portal. And these intelligences can come and go through this doorway. So your next question to me should be, well, gee, what causes a doorway to open? There are lots of things. One is methamphetamine. Mm-hmm. A meth house will open a portal or a doorway to a region of hell you cannot conceive of. I'll be blunt. Whether you have a piece of property, whether somebody used it, it is a doorway to a hell that has no description. If someone is doing a Ouija board, they can open a doorway to hell. If they're doing tarot cards, I had an antique dealer call me this past week and say, oh, will you clear my antique shop? And I said, yeah, for a good 5 minutes, but next antique you bring in, you'll bring in somebody with it. And I asked her if she was using tarot cards, and she said, well, I don't really use them. I have a deck. And I said, then it's pointless for me because you keep a door open with a tarot card deck.
Wow.
Whether or not you believe that, I mean, I've done this thousands and thousands of times, and I will not work on a house if somebody has a deck. I just refuse. It means that you can never be successful, because it's like saying, gee, close the door and you know, you keep the cold out. But if you always leave the door open, you never can close it off. It's very difficult to close those. It's very, very difficult to close those portals. You have to really know what you're doing. And let me assure you, Sage will not cut it.
I had a lady on here that talked about her mother being possessed most of her adult life and dying that possession. And she wrote a book about it. And one of the things that she was talking about, and her father is very, very evil. And I think evil can open those portals too. I mean, he was the most evil man. And so, and I think evil will seek its own self. You know, evil will seek evil. So I asked her, she said, you know, in the book, I said, I saw a portal open. She said, what are you talking about? I said, in the backyard. You said that at one point there was a hole and your father was throwing sand in it, trying to fill it up. It couldn't fill up. They didn't know how deep. Finally put boards on it. I said, that was the portal that opened when your mom was demonically possessed. And they entered through that portal, and it's because your father was really a horrible person. You know, so I think he drew them to that. And the interesting story was the people that found her, that used her for a vessel, they found that house because they felt him. And they helped to open the portal because they did things. So that I definitely believe they can open.
Well, there's another way that